what, Dr. Reverend Therese? Remember, huh? Picked out to be picked on. How many feel like that? That you've been picked out so that you can be picked on?
Yes.
Rodney trying to raise his whole body. I get you, bro. I get you. I know. You know, behind that comes a, why me, Lord? What did I deserve? What did I do to deserve this?
Oh, man.
Or, where did I find this puddle at, Charlotte? This puddle of water. Why did I find this puddle of water? My mother used to say something about dirty water. I didn't know what it meant, but if you drink you dirty water, I don't know, but she had something for it. But sometimes you feel like you're walking in dirty water.
Amen.
Amen. You be asking God to, Lord, help me clean this mess up.
Amen.
So I can keep it moving. Amen. Go to Genesis. We're going to look at a few people who got picked out to be picked on.
All right.
Amen. In Genesis, the 39th chapter. First, we're going to look at Joseph. Now, if anybody who was picked out to be picked on, it was Joseph.
Amen. Amen.
Folks say, well, it was Job. No, Job got picked out to be picked on, but Joseph started it all. Joseph was the beginning of being picked on. It says, 16th verse, and she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did he the servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Now all this transpired for the simple fact Joseph was still about his normal palace duties, and she decided that she wanted Joseph. And Joseph probably wanted her, but he wasn't going to go against God. You say, well, how can you say Joseph wanted her? Because he was a man. But his God was greater than his want. His God was greater than his desire. So he decided, no. He left his robe and got the heck out of Dodge. Well, she decided, I'm too pretty for any man to turn me down. How dare he to turn me down? So she set him up. When her husband got there. Well, you know the king, he done heard this story. You got to go. I don't care how much I like you, Joseph. You got to go. You can't be fooling around with my wife, which was a bald-faced lie. Nevertheless, here he is. He's been picked out. To be picked on. But see, it don't matter when you're being picked out to be picked on, because God, what did he say? Always has a ram in the bush. And it don't matter how long. He might have been there 20 years. Ain't no telling how long that ram was in that bush when Abraham took Isaac up to the mountain. It don't tell you. Can you imagine if that ram was in that bush for 20 years?
Wow.
When did Abraham leave his home? Remember Pastor Keith? It was a while. He had left his home a while before he even had Isaac, before Isaac was even born. And then I wouldn't be surprised if that ram wasn't in that thicket all the time. Now, that would be a miracle in itself, because here you have a ram in a thicket who can't get anything to eat. He can't get any water. And I guarantee you, when Abraham saw him, he was healthy. That just goes to show you, you can be picked out, to be picked on, and still be healthy.
Amen.
Because I'm sure that ram was looking at them when they came up to the top, and like, oh, I'm about to be lunch today. Or sacrifice. But he made it through it, nevertheless. So here we are with the brother Joseph dealing with this situation. But the Lord was with here. Now, how many hear that? Now, she just set him up.
Yeah.
Picked him out to be picked on. But the word of God says, but the Lord was with Joseph.
Yeah.
And showed him what?
Mercy.
Well, Lord, why did you let him go through it in the first place? Could you have stopped it? Could you have changed her mind? Could you have changed her idea? Mm-hmm. Could you have made her not want to do it? Well, if she had done all that, then the scripture wouldn't have been any good to us, now would it?
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been able to be picked out, to be picked on, uh-huh, and still have the Lord love him and show him mercy.
Amen.
So God shows him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed Joseph and all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now, remember, the man is in prison, and he's still prospering.
Wow.
Because, see, when you get picked out, to be picked on, God's mercy, which endure forever, will always be there to keep you strong.
Oh, man.
To strengthen you and to keep you. And God will always show you favor in the sight of your enemies. Amen?
Amen.
So here we have Joseph. So then Joseph goes down. You know the story. Joseph goes down. He's in the prison. One of the guys needs the interpretation of a dream. He interprets the dream for the guy. And then another guy wanted the interpretation. This guy, he gave an interpretation. This guy didn't care for his interpretation too much, because it meant that in 3 days he was going to lose his head and he was going to be hanging from a tree. I don't think I would have liked that interpretation either. So it all came to pass. But the cook was supposed to tell the king that what a blessing that he was when he got there. Well, my Bible tells me that when he got there, he forsake him.
Again.
He forgot him.
Yeah.
What that means, that he never intended on telling the king about him anyway, because he would have felt threatened by this man of God. So he felt like the best place for him to be was where?
In
jail. Sometimes your flesh feels like the best place for you to be is in jail. You know you can be in jail to your own mindset.
That's right.
It'll hold you captive.
Yes.
Try to make you destroy yourself.
Yes.
Destroy your thoughts. Destroy your principles and the ideas that God has promised you.
Come on now.
It'll hold you captive.
My Lord.
Amen.
Lord.
But we got to keep pressing. We gotta move on out.
Yeah.
Amen.
We're gonna look at another man here. Let's look at another man here. Where is he at? I wrote it down. I must have left it upstairs. Daniel. Let's go to Hosea first, though. I changed on you, son. I'm sorry. You kind of knew that was going to happen anyway, didn't you?
Amen.
let's go to Hosea. Now, we know the story about Hosea. Now, I wouldn't have been real happy about this situation. Not at all. I would have been a little bit fried if God tells me the first chapter and the first verse.
Yep.
God tells me, the word of the Lord came to me, Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said unto Hosea, go take thee a wife of whoredoms. And children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Now, Hosea's being picked on, being picked out to be picked on, for the simple fact, God is mad at Israel.
Yep. Amen.
That seems a little unfair, don't it? How would you like for God to pick you out, to be picked on, because he was mad at somebody in your family?
All right.
Lord, why don't you just deal with them?
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
If you got to take somebody out of here, take them out to deal with Rodney. Cut me some slack. Right. Deal with my brother. He'd be all right. When he wake up in the morning. Amen. So here he is. He being picked on. He done got picked out.
Yep.
He got to go out and marry a whore.
Yep.
Who's going to have kids. And every kid that's born has a name.
Yeah.
And the Lord said unto him, call his, let's see. And so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Dalaim, which conceived and bare him a son.
Yeah.
And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Well, God's going to do something to the house of Israel, so he's got this. Now, Hosea's got this. I can't say what I want to say, but you already said it. He's got this kid. Amen. He's got this kid. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel, and she conceived again.
Yep.
Now, see, you have to understand something. Hosea is practicing where he's not touching her.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
How many heard what I said?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Therefore,
God sent him out to get a wife that he's not allowed to sleep with.
Uh-huh.
So,
there you go.
You pregnant again?
Oh, wait a minute.
How come you just didn't stay home? But he couldn't say that because he know it was ordained by God. Unless he had another child, God couldn't put another judgment on Israel.
Come on now.
But I sure wouldn't have been happy about it.
My Lord.
And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Leruhama.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Ain't that a name? For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. I will save them by the Lord their God, and I will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. She got another one. She working out. And a man of God sitting back, thanks a lot, Lord. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate all this. I got these kids and they ain't mine. Now you have to understand something. If they had been his, the Bible would have told you that they were his.
Right.
So if you want to have a revelation and try to read into it, you help yourself.
All right, now.
Man.
Man. So here's, had a boy. What was his name?
Lo-Ami.
Going to Miami. Amen. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God.
My Lord.
You know, it's done got deep now. It's done got deep. God said, I'm not going to be your God, and you're not going to be my people. That means you have no protection. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, if ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Now see, we're going back to Jezreel. But see, God had these children born as a point of contact to show what was going on with Israel. Their name. That's why I tell you, your name means something. A person that has a good name, it means something. You know. So here we go. Hosea and I went through all this stuff. So reading the scripture, you can kind of understand that sister died. So if sister died, I'm going, no more kids. I'm a free man. But it ain't going to be like that. Because then God turns around in the third chapter and says, then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. They love flagons of wine. They look to other gods. So you need to go find a woman that looks to other men. What he's supposed to do with an adulteress? That means if he go to sleep, she adulting. If he out doing the Lord's work, she adulting. Why? Because that's what Israel was doing.
Yes.
Whatever she's doing, Israel was doing. But I don't think I would have had to want to look at it on a daily basis. So I brought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. Now look at the word adulteress. It's an idolatress. And denotes only a woman of the northern tribes. Or it's talking about how Israel was adultering, was pretending to love God, but actually searching out other gods. There's a lot of folks doing that today. They say they love God, but they actually serving another God.
Come on now.
I love Jehovah, but you love you better. I'm going to honor God, but you're going to honor you first. Something wrong with that picture. God wants you to honor him first and foremost.
Amen.
You see, that's why sometimes you find yourself in a situation where you feel like you're being picked on. Why are they messing with me, Lord? I ain't done nothing to them. How many folks have to deal with stuff like that on your job? I ain't done nothing to them. Why they messing with me? Or as some folks say, I ain't done nothing to them. Why they harassing me? Why they dogging me? Why they persecuting me? Why they afflicting me in the way they are? It's a possibility that God picks you to be picked on so that you can show how great his mercy and his grace is. Now, if you take it another way, if you don't do it the way God wants you to do it, by showing them love in the first place, then you missed out on the total plan. And it's a strong possibility, if you truly love God, you got to revisit that situation all over again.
Amen.
I'd rather make it the first time, Pastor, than have to go through it the second time, because it's going to be worse if you go through it the second time. First time, you only had to deal with one. Second time, now you got to deal with two.
My Lord.
This one's going to line themselves up with somebody else. This one don't. This one actually like you, but because this one is more spontaneous and more got all the acting going on, better dresser, or, you know, always got pizzazz. And thank you, Rev. I don't know what it means, but that's good. Got all the pizzazz and everything going on. So she decided to cheap link up with her instead of the other one, because the other girl evidently is just whole humdrum, but she's smart. She's intelligent. Sometimes that ain't enough for people. So here it is getting picked on. But the good thing about it is God is with her. So God shows her what? Mercy. And if God shows her mercy, that means that her mind, her transformation of her mind, allows her to work through the cloud. Not run from it, but work through the cloud, where she can still give God the honor and give God the praise by loving those that hate her, and praying for those that despitefully use her. Poor Hosea. I can stay in Hosea for the rest of the year, but we're not going to do it. Amen. Now we're going to look at another guy. Who's this other guy we're going to look at? Daniel. We're going to look at Daniel. Now look at Daniel. Daniel decided that he was going to pray. He was going to pray 3 times a day. Well, he had a couple brothers that already didn't like him. And they say, you know what? This is how we're going to get it. Well, don't you think God knew that if Daniel kept praying, he was going to be in a pickle? But he kept praying. God never told Daniel, Daniel, don't pray, because they set you for a trap. But nevertheless, Daniel prayed anyway. Right. Well, the brothers of Keilah, they went and told on him. You said, which they had already set up with the king anyway. Right. They talked the king into doing the thing in the law. So here he is. Daniel set up, getting ready to do his prayer. They heard him praying. Next thing you know, the king then took Daniel, his friend, who he didn't want to do, throw him to the fiery furnace. But he had no choice. He had no choice. But because he had to honor his own decree. If the king had to honor his decree, you better believe God's going to honor his.
Amen.
So whatever God has promised you in your life, you can expect to receive it.
Amen.
You can look forward to it.
Oh,
it's like money in the bank if you don't have none.
Hey.
Amen. So Daniel prayed. He didn't get busted. They're taking him, throwing him in the lion's den. King is having a fit. He don't know what to do. My friend in the lion's den.
Yep, exactly.
The 14th verse. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself because he got set up.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. He got set up. See, he got picked out. To be picked on, and he didn't make it. He failed. Daniel got picked out to be picked on, but we're going to see he's going to make it. Then the king commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Look at Daniel. I know your God.
Yes, Lord, yes. Isn't that awesome?
I'm not born again. I don't claim to know him the way you know him, but I know him.
Yes.
Because I've seen the most astonishing things that he's done through your prayers.
Yes.
So I know your God, and I know that your God will protect you and your God will keep you. See, the king now has been picked out. Now he's being picked on because now he knows for a fact.
Yeah.
He had to look at Daniel. When he looked at Daniel, there was something that affected his mindset. The anointing affected his mindset to let him know and to reassure him that Daniel was protected.
Amen.
That's why I said, Daniel, I know the God that you serve.
Come on now.
Amen.
Got your back.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
You better believe the God you serve will always have your back.
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't care what your situation looks like, how hard it may seem, how much pain and agony you may be in, God has still got your back.
Yeah. You got that right. Amen. Hallelujah.
Evangelist Denise gave me a shirt. What does that shirt say? I got your back or something? Mm-hmm. What does it say? Jesus, something got your back, and it shows this bone, these bones. Spine. Think I'm going to wear that shirt tomorrow. But God always got you.
Yeah.
He's always protecting you.
Amen.
And we have to learn to carry ourselves as such.
Amen.
Now we're going to get down, but we have to pick ourselves up.
Right. That's right.
We're going to be discouraged, but we have to learn to encourage ourselves.
Amen.
Things going to go on in our lives, and we're going to have to deal with it in a way that we know that God has our back.
You better believe it.
Amen, Sister Shirley. So the king said, And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might be changed. I like the word purpose there. The intent of what was taking place, that there was no way to change it. Don't you know that God has a purpose in your life? What is that purpose? For you to be born again, to live and let the power of God in his nature and his character manifest itself in your life 24 hours a day in spite of your circumstance or your situation.
Hallelujah.
God always wants to look into your spirit and see himself.
Yes.
Amen. So they got him. Oh, poor Daniel. You can say poor Daniel, but Daniel was excited. Throw me in there. Go ahead, throw me in there. You done picked me. You done picked me. Now let me show you how great my God is.
Amen.
Yes.
You think you finna pick on me, but I'm finna show you what a real God can do.
Oh, right. Amen.
So Daniel's in the lion's den. The Lord's, the king's decree, he can't, everything's got to go according to plan.
Yes.
And when they came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. Now, this is the king doing all this crying. You ain't hearing a peep out of Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the what?
Living God.
How does he know he's a living God?
Ooh, yes, Lord.
You want to know how he knows he's living God? Because he sees him living in Daniel. And we know that God did not live in men at that time. But the word was so rich and so powerful in his life, you couldn't tell that God wasn't in it.
Amen.
So Daniel's here. The king is hollering out, whom thou servest to be able to deliver thee from the lions. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Live forever, king. Remember, I've been picked out to be picked on, but I want you to live forever so that you can see this thing transpire.
My Lord.
Amen. So, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths. Live forever, king. That they have not hurt me for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. I don't care what you're dealing with on this day. You have got to believe in your God.
Yeah.
I don't care how bad your body may hurt. You got to believe in your God. Yeah. I don't care how bad your finances may be. You got to believe in your God. I don't care what's going on in your family. You got to believe in your God. How do you believe in your God? By continuing to praise and worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't let nothing separate you from your praise.
That's right.
Daniel was like, O king, live forever, because you're going to see this miracle take place.
Amen.
I want you to see this miracle take place. I want you to see just how great God is.
Yes, Lord.
And the king was so happy. 24, and the king commanded that they brought those men which had accused Daniel. And they cast them into the den of lions. Their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them. Meaning the lions just tore apart. And break all their bones and pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. It said it break all their bones. Lions usually eat people. They didn't eat them. They just... Man, what's the word I'm looking for? Humiliated them. Just broke them all up. Annihilated them.
There you go.
And just imagine, the husband was watching the lion annihilate the wife, and the children were watching the lions annihilate however secrets they went in, they got to see it done.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, they were sitting there, man, I wish I had left that man alone. That's how a lot of people feel about you. When they find themselves in all these precarious situations, don't you think for one minute that they aren't reminded of how they treated you, and the things they said about you, and how they are around you? Don't you think for one minute that God's not going to allow them to see? Better than that, they flesh won't allow them to see what's going on they did.
Amen.
You don't have to tell them.
Hey.
God will show them.
Woo. Yes.
My goodness.
My Lord.
Yeah.
My Lord.
Then where are we going? Matthew. We're going to Matthew. He don't know what chapter, and I don't either. I depend on you, son. I didn't give it to you. It don't matter. I gave you a gift. Okay. Nevertheless, look at Jesus. Look at what Jesus went through. From the moment he actually, you know, from the moment he allowed himself to be baptized by John, his life changed.
Amen.
He went from being the son of a carpenter to being the son of God. Why? The reason I say that, because at that point he realized that he was the son of God.
Amen.
And from that time on, guess what he was done? He was picked out to be picked on.
Hey.
To be picked on.
Oh.
There's going to come a day when you're going to know you've been picked out.
Get picked on. Yeah.
But you know what the word of God said?
Yeah.
Thinking not strange, these fiery trials that'll come upon you. You got to do what? You got to fight like a good soldier.
Amen.
We got to hang on in there and keep it moving. Because God's got something special for us.
Amen.
God has something special for us, more special than we could ever imagine. It's a new life.
Oh, yeah.
I was reading Revelation when it was talking about the new heaven and the new earth coming down. What you gonna do when a new heaven and a new earth come down?
Oh wow.
Your picked on days will be over with.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh Lord, it's a hard one. Folks looking to fly up out of here, Rev.
Oh.
27. Oh, okay. Thank you, sir. Listen to what Jesus. Now, Jesus, now the Father done picked him out to be picked on. And he really got picked on. But by the time he made it to the cross, he didn't even look like a man.
Ooh.
We see these little pictures of little staves in his hands and in his feet. That don't even compare. I don't know if you've seen that movie that Mel Gibson wrote, The Passion of Christ, how they showed that don't even really compare to how bad he looked. He was just ripped to threads. But yet, he had been picked out to be picked on. But he held on to the honor of God.
Amen.
He declared that God was still God in spite of how bad he may have looked. He declared that God was still God in spite of how bad he may have hurt. He declared that God is still God in spite of the folks that he came to save, how they turned on him. In spite of all of this, he understood that he was the Son of God and that he'd been picked on by the Father, not just in Matthew, but in Genesis. Jesus said, the 46th verse of the 27th chapter, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He'd been picked on to be picked on, and sometimes it reaches a certain point in your life. Anytime you have God himself saying, Father, why have you forsaken me? Yeah. How could you possibly leave me in this situation where I'm on this cross? They doing this, and they still won't leave me alone. They're sticking me with spears. Yeah. They're putting vinegar water in my mouth.
Oh.
Lord, Father, you've left me for this.
Lord.
But you know what he had to stand on? Even though I'm on this cross and I'm going to bleed out, I guarantee you this, in 3 days, I'll rise again.
Amen.
Guess what? Once I rise, there will be no more picking on.
That's right.
Amen.
That is right.
There will be no more picking on. But for you that are still here, these things that I do, you're going to do also. That means you're going to have to deal with the suffering and the pain and the agony and the being picked on and all that good stuff. And you can go back to Job, how Job got picked on. God let you know flat out Job was being picked on.
Oh, yeah.
Have you considered my servant Job? If he said, have you considered my servant Dennis? I'd be, oh, hold it, Lord. Hold it. Why don't you try to ask the relevant? He is a stronger man than I am. Job didn't even have a chance. He didn't even know what hit him, buddy. Bam.
Oh, my God.
Kids gone. Cattle gone.
Oh, man.
And then, to make it work right, you really want to get picked on?
Oh.
Let your wife pick on you.
Oh, jeez.
Your wife know how to pick on you.
Oh.
Well, I know what you see. She said, look here, man. You walk around all them sores all over your body.
Oh, Lord.
Looking all crazy with sackcloth all over you.
No, no.
Why don't you just curse God and die?
Oh, Lord, no.
Give up on your faith.
Mm-mm.
Give up on your confidence in this God.
Uh-uh.
Look what he done let you go through.
Uh-uh.
Just give up. So say, you better get out of here, woman.
That's right.
Now, understand something. She represented the church. It's telling the spiritual story also. She represented the type of church that said this declares that if you go through anything and God don't deliver you at that moment, then he ain't God.
Uh-uh.
A lot of folks believe that. Well, no, where your God at now? They ask Jesus, you the Son of Man, you the Son of God, why don't you come down off of there?
Yeah.
And I can't come down off of this cross. This is what I've been picked out to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Yep.
But that don't mean you got to be on the cross. It just say carry it.
Right.
Come on. Break it down, Pastor.
Amen.
Break it down.
Oh, it's kind of, and you can't carry it and be on it at the same time.
Come on now.
All
right. Woo. Whoa.
Break it down.
Yeah.
Lord.
Why has thou forsaken me? He said, you got to carry this cross.
Yeah.
What comes to this cross? Being picked out.
Yeah.
To be picked on.
Oh, boy.
I'm finna close out with this other brother.
Uh-oh.
You have Paul.
Yeah.
Paul said, putting this in layman's terms, look here. Look here. Oh, Lord, I didn't get you the verses for that either, did I? Don't worry about this. I was kind of, I was moving at that point. Paul said in the 12th chapter of the 6th verse of 2 Corinthians, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. He's telling him, Don't put me on no pedestal.
Yeah.
We tend to put people on a pedestal.
Come on. Man.
Hmm. You put them on a pedestal if you want to, you'll find yourself being picked on.
Yeah. Got that right.
I know. Old Sean can tell you too. Don't worry, Brother Sean, I'm not going to revisit that story. I'm going to let it be. But it's the truth. I know for a fact, because there's things I have teased Pastor Hart about when he was alive. I find myself doing the same thing. So here we have Paul here. He says, unless I should be exalted or haughty above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Or he's talking about the manifestations, not just of the word of God, but the things that he has done and for the kingdom of God. Yeah. As far as starting churches and folks being raised from the dead and blinded eyes being opened and the demons being cast out. For all these things, don't be lifting me up. Don't exalt me because I've done these things. There was given to me a thorn in my flesh. I got a thorn in my flesh.
Right.
So I'm being picked on too.
Mm-hmm.
I have raised the dead. I've opened blinded eyes. I've been all over the country. Mm-hmm. And remember, he ain't had no car.
Oh boy.
He had no bike. And most times when you read about Paul, he's walking.
Oh boy. Oh.
So he covered all that country walking.
Lord.
Amen. And Paul was like, I've done all these things. So why do I have to have this thorn in my flesh here?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, why do I have to have it? Well, I've heard different renditions of what the thorn was, but it's actually what it says it is. We know what a thorn is. A thorn is something that is prickly, it's sharp on the end, and it caused great pain, great agony. Well, Paul had this thorn in his flesh, not in his body, but when he talks about flesh, he's talking about the overdamaged nature. He had this thorn that was in him because he was reminded on a continual basis of all the saints that he persecuted.
Yes.
Wow. All the ugly things that he did before he gave his heart and life to God. God allowed him to remember that on a daily basis.
Wow.
Can you imagine being up preaching the word, knowing you are preaching, and you just happen to see the man whose wife you just killed? And you telling him how good God is?
Oh.
God is wonderful. Jesus will deliver. He'll set you free. And you got to be so anointed so that that man will be able to hear God through you, man. Knowing that you are the same one that caused his wife to be gone.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And that was even harder on Paul, because here he is with this, and he said, Lord, he says, you sent a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I'm not going to get exalted, Lord, because I'm always reminded of the life that I led before I became who I am now.
Yeah.
You don't think he wrote all the books that he wrote? He wrote them because of the experiences that he had.
Yeah.
Not because of what somebody told him, but by the experiences that he had, which he already knew, and he used the word, the Old Testament word, that he knew. The God gave him the revelation out of that.
Yeah.
So that he can write the epistles.
Yeah.
Which teach us how we should live and teach us how we're supposed to treat one another.
Man.
Teach us how to walk and to talk. Teach us how to pray and teach us how to do things in life so that we can manifest the kingdom of God in our lives.
Yeah.
Yes, you've been picked out. You've been picked out to be picked on. But God gave you grace and mercy that will endure for that. You can do this thing. You can handle this.
Man.
That's what he said. Yes, he did.
You can handle it.
Amen.
So don't give up.
Huh.
Keep fighting.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
If you ain't sure about who do it, just use the devil if you have to.
No.
Most y'all do anyway.
Woo.
Amen. The key to victory is accepting the responsibility for your actions.
Amen.
For your thoughts, for your lifestyle, you accept the responsibility, even though you might be being picked on, when they picked on you. No, understand this, that it's part of the purpose of God that you go through the things that you're going through so that you can show forth the mercy and the glory of God. Amen. If you don't ever go through anything, you can't tell folks that they can make it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Come on now.
Woo, yes, Lord.
God is a healer. Well, how is he a healer? Because he healed me.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you don't get the type of healing that you want. But you know what I found out, Mother? You can have a healing, whereas whatever it is you're dealing with, you can still keep going.
Amen.
That means your mind's been healed. You've been set free in your mind. You have victory in your mind. You made up in your mind and said, regardless of being picked out and being picked on by my own circumstances, I'm being picked on by my own sicknesses. I'm being picked on by my own discomfort. I'm being picked on by these things. But grace be unto God, the glory of God, I can still glorify God because I know that I can do all things through Him who has strengthened me.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory to your name, Jesus.
You say, well, what do, Pastor? You just accept it. No, you don't accept it. You keep fighting.
That's right.
Man.
That's right.
You keep believing in God. You keep trusting God.
Amen.
Paul finally said, well, since I'm already in this thing, I need to do this. I need to forget those things which are and do what?
Press.
That means you got to work.
That's right. Amen. Work it.
Lesson it.
It ain't just gonna happen.
Come on now.
Man.
That's right.
Okay.
He said, shoot. And he said unto them, grace is is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in my weakness.
Woo, yes, Lord.
I've been picked out to be picked on to show that in the midst of my weakness, I still got victory.
Amen.
Amen.
It don't matter how weak I may seem, the glory of the living God is still going to move on my behalf.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you open up these lungs right now. Lord God, I take authority over the phlegm that's in these lungs right now, Father. Lord God, you're a miracle worker. You're a healer, you're a deliverer. Now, Father, you work this on her, Father. You move by your spirit. Father, I decree by the power of the living God that you have your way in her body right now. Lord God, she being picked on, Father. Lord God, she has been picked out to be picked on by this thing that's in her body. But Father, you're going to bring her through it. Lord God, that she might show forth the glory and the power and the love of God. I thank you for healing right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on and give God some praise. Glory to the God.
Glory.
I had a friend. She wouldn't say glory to God. She would say glory to the God. And I asked her, I said, why do you keep saying glory to the God? What's wrong with just glory to God? She said, because when I say glory to the God, I want you, everybody, to know that He is the Almighty, the Omnipotent One.
Oh,
He is
the
God. That means He's the ruler of all things. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's Jehovah Jireh. There is nothing that He can't do, nothing that He won't do for those who love Him and those that have faith in Him. That's why I call Him the God. He is the Most High God. Yes, He is. Hallelujah. So if you feel like you've been picked out and you're being picked on, glorify God. Give God some praise.
Amen.
And Lord, I know I'm in this storm, but I know you're in it with me.
Hey.
Remember they was out there? They was out there in the boat, closing. They was out there in the boat, and they were fishing. And while they're out there fishing, a tempest arose. Well, when it talks about tempest, it's talking about a hurricane.
Oh, man.
And here comes Jesus in the midst of the hurricane.
Yes, he was.
Just strolling.
Oh, wow.
Come on.
come on now.
My Lord.
He just showed me.
Oh, down memory lane.
Until I can see Jesus, he just waves everywhere. Waves every place. Waves going around it. Just he just walking right through all the trouble.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Because it was his time. He had been picked out and be picked on by his nature. And why? Because their guys on the boat needed to know that he was who he said he was.
All right.
Because they wouldn't believe that nobody but a Jesus could walk through water, walk on water, walk through the storm, not back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Amen.
Woo.
Oh, man. If I saw a man walking towards me on the water, I'm going to rev up the engines. Because I already know. I'm still waiting on Jesus to come back, so it's got to be something else. Amen. So you got to have your trust in God. Listen to me, folks. You had better know what he looks like when he shows up.
Because
he's coming.
Oh, yeah.
And if you had a nerve to say, Jesus, is that you? He gonna say no. And you're gonna miss out on your visitation with God. So glorify him whatever you're going through.
Amen.
Your troubles, your trials. Just hold on to God. Amen. Keep believing God. And you know what? Just keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Amen.
And I have to remind myself sometimes. I have to ask myself. Brother, what you get in a few minutes, Lord, and I will. Because I know how to get it. And praise. Thanking him for who he is, how great he is, how powerful he is. Thanking him for the life and the joy and the peace that he supplies in my life. You got it now. I got victory now. Because I realize that the one that I'm trying to get the victory from is the very one that's in me. So if he's in me, guess what's in me? Victory. So what I have to do is pull victory out. So that I can recognize that I'm a son of the Most High God.
Yes.
Saved, delivered, and set free. And if you want to say it, fire baptized. And I know what it is to be burnt. Everybody stand. I've been burnt so much I have to check my skin. I'm ready to be offered up in a way so that I can die out to me and live in him.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's why he said we must die daily. On a daily basis, we must eliminate that part of our lives that wants to separate us from who God is. Not going to be easy, but that's what practice is all about. Whatever you want to be good at, you do what? You practice that. You can't be a good tennis player if you don't practice.
Amen.
You can't be a good golfer if you don't practice.
Amen.
Whatever it is you want to be good at, you've got to practice. That's where perfection comes in. You might not be so perfect in it, but you'll be so mature and so good at it, you'll think you're perfect.
Yeah.
Amen. And God is calling us out, bringing us out to let us know, don't worry about your troubles. Don't worry about your struggles. Because as long as I'm for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
Amen. Come stand across the front.